This podcast contains swearing and occasional disturbing content.
I don't need to live in this physical realm. I walk around in the physical realm. In the spiritual world is where I live. I exist in places you never even dreamed of. Strange.
Hello and welcome to the High Strangeness Podcast, episode 80. Like we're playing darts, 180. But it's not 180, 80. 100 more to go to get to 180. That's simple math for us today. My name is Gav.
My name's Sarah.
Welcome, everybody. Today we're going to talk about some horrible people.
We are.
I don't really know about these people so much. Sarah's got to indulge my ears with lovely wordings of hammering. And it's nothing to do with MC Hammer. He's not involved. We could be having that music playing underneath us as we speak, but it's probably out of taste.
Oh, really. No.
You can't touch this, definitely. Anyway, Sarah, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
In the sort of the wording for these today is two hammers?
Three guys, one hammer.
Three guys, one hammer. Kind of taking that kind of moniker from the two girls, one cup, is it?
I'm assuming so, yeah.
Is there any more of certain numbers of people acquainting to an object number?
I've seen one guy, one cup.
Five elephants, one banana? I don't know.
No, that could be a tricky situation.
What's going to happen? I get lost, really. It's quite small.
I don't know. I think I'd rather see that video than any of the others, though.
I haven't seen either of them. And I do know, I remember years ago, a friend of mine, shout out to John, saying that he'd watched a movie of like some dudes in the woods killing someone with a hammer. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, it's proper live. I wish I'd seen it. It's like, well, I don't know, if you're looking for it and you're clicking it, then you kind of know what you're getting. So I don't know. You can't sort of say that afterwards. But
I know that feeling, though, because I had that feeling after I watched the one guy, one cup video.
I just don't watch these things, so I don't know. I don't do it.
Yeah,
I don't
it's just have one that of those thing. Things that, so, you know, someone will say to you, oh, you don't want to see that, or I saw something really bad. And then I kind of was like, I want to see it more now, so I want to actually look. And they were like, don't watch it, it's really horrible. And then I was like, oh, I just want to look at it more, you know. And then looked at it and was like, yeah, I wish I hadn't looked at that. So then just broke the chain and never told anybody about it, about what I'd seen.
I was going to say, unfortunately, what you're saying then would be the case of some people with paedophilia, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I suppose if you're inclined
wanting to,
that
even
way,
though
yeah.
not, like, yeah, of course. You know, but yeah, this is the good. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly of the internet. And I remember he said that, and he said, and I was like, really? Like, for real? Because I couldn't believe that sort of thing. So I knew like there was no snuff videos. Yeah. But of course, there's people out there being murdered on camera. It's just one of those things when cameras invented, and
it's so easy to do as well, isn't it? Just to pull your phone out of your pocket, film it, and stick it on the internet.
Now, especially.
Yeah.
And once it's there, even if it's pulled straight away, someone has downloaded it and they've got it, and it's just
definitely. Yeah, it's going to be around somewhere.
And these, I don't know the case, you know, we could get into it, but these kids like going to do this, then throwing it up on the internet, is out of stupidity that they're going to get caught. There's even an IP address. It's like, and even if it was like the local library's IP address, there's going to be CCTV. It's just like, what are you doing, you idiots? Like, but you know, crazy that it was filmed, and I'm sure these things will carry on.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure. Yeah, it's not the only case.
No, totally. But yeah, and then you could talk about some more. So it's kind of Eastern European people who are kind of maniacs, essentially.
Yeah, it's Eastern European maniacs this episode. Yeah, mainly with hammers. So we've got these guys.
Preferred
we've got
method.
Seems to be quite a lot of it over there.
Head trauma and things like the hammers.
Yeah.
So like the whole, I actually, like a couple I can think of, old boy kill list, you know.
Yeah.
Where the whole idea of...
Is also, Hellraiser. The original Hellraiser. Oh, yes. Judia. Yeah.
I find it really horrible because I know what it's like to hammer a nail. But then if you do it to actually someone's head, you know, just doing the smallest tap to the head with a hammer is going to could cause trauma, you know.
Yeah, because of how it could cause any amount of damage, couldn't it? You know, if it damages your brain.
Yeah, because of what the hammer is designed for.
Yeah.
You know, and top heavy, very, very heavy. So any sort of force with a hammer, even any more than just a slightest tap, any more than that, could cause death. It's the sort of thing, it's like a gun. If you're going to be prepared to use it, and essentially, I suppose, a knife, if you're prepared to actually go ahead and do it. I think with a hammer, actually, mainly, because if you're hammering a head, if it's not death, it's brain damage. If you're going to do that...
You've got to think, it's really incapacitating. Like, if you're using that properly, I've always thought, like, a hammer's a pretty good weapon.
If
you run the market for, like, a good weapon, you know, because even if you smash someone in the face with that, you think you can break a jaw, an eye socket, a nose. You're going to put someone out of action, like, pretty fucking quick with a hammer.
Yeah, absolutely. And, and there's a few movies that happens, and you see when they pick up a hammer, you go, oh, God. Because it's like, that's going to fucking hurt.
And that one in Kill List is fucking awful. That really, really, like, I've seen a lot, but that really turns my stomach when they get that guy in that with a hammer.
I saw that at Fright Fest in Leicester Square. The cinema screen was big. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was a lot. Yeah. That is a lot to deal with.
But like, you got to know that, like, you're going ahead and you're going to probably kill that person.
Yeah, you're definitely going to cause some damage with a hammer. It's not a kind of like just a throwaway weapon, is it? You know, it's not something you can fanny around with, really.
Not really, no. Just you got to be pretty gnarly for doing that stuff.
Yeah,
you'll be
definitely.
Full on, you're going for it with it.
Yeah,
totally. It's a weird one as well, because if you've got a knife or a gun, those two things, you can visually show them to someone in front of them and threaten them without actually knowing that you're not going to, you might not have any bullets, so to speak. But a hammer, if you pull out a hammer, it's such a day-to-day object as well. You can buy in a local DIY hardware store. You've grown up with a hammer. You've not grown up with a gun, you know. Well, unless, I suppose, that's a lie. You could very easily have grown up with guns. But do you know what I mean? It is like, it's designed for DIY.
It's got other uses, so you could mistake it for something else.
And knives do have other uses, and guns. You might be able to make a weed pipe out of a gun or something, I suppose.
Yeah, but if someone just randomly pulls out a butcher's knife in front of me, I'm going to be way more suspicious that they're going to cause me harm than I would do if they pulled out a hammer, potentially.
Yeah, totally.
But then, maybe not. Maybe I'd just be suspicious of all the things. Too much true crime.
I suppose, like a knife as well, though, a hammer, you could easily get away with buying these without causing suspicion. Obviously, guns, gun checks, etc. Yeah, all right. I just want to talk about hammers. Hammer. I just want to have a bit of hammer time.
I must say, before we start, MC Hammer does not support this podcast.
I bet he does not. But Vanilla Ice would do.
We'd like you to. Oh, yes. Can we have Vanilla Ice?
Let's get Van Winkle.
Rob, come on. Support the podcast.
Come on, Van Winkle.
Come and do my garden. I think we've had this conversation, haven't we?
Have we got any warnings for this show?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be rough. I'm not going to go into like huge detail on the murders, but there will be some descriptions of a couple of the killings. Obviously, we're going to be talking about people hitting other people in the head with hammers. Like, it's going to be rough.
Animal death as well, isn't it?
There is some animal cruelty. I've kind of skipped that bit. Obviously, I'll mention it, but there was some descriptions of it, but I'm not going to go into that because it's, you just don't need it. Who needs to hear it, really? You know. There's that. So if you feel like it's not going to be your thing, then skip to the next episode, or go back and listen to something else.
Yeah, totally. All right, well, yeah, it's a serial killer episode. Are there not serial killers? Are they serial killers?
They're serial stroke spree killers.
Okay, yeah, because all of a sudden, okay, well, I'll strap myself into my safety chair.
Yes, you do that.
Or my safety pants.
I will put a warning on this for me mispronouncing all these fucking names as well.
I'm going to help you as well.
Ukrainian or, like, you know, Russian. So I'm going to do my best. So bear with me. You're going to help me. You're going to help me, are you?
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure how many Russian listeners we have. We do have some, though. So that'd be interesting.
Oh, nice.
So let us know.
Russia.
Let us know.
Cool. Okay. We're ready.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. All right. So today, obviously, we're going to be talking maniacs. And as we were saying, you know, he's got a lot of maniacs. It's Eastern Europe, specifically Russia and kind of Ukraine areas.
And do we know, as in, why?
I'm not sure why, but there is a lot of maniacs in Russia. I think they do enjoy calling, like, murderers and just general nefarious people maniacs. So I've done, like, a real big list at the end, so you can hear about some of the other maniacs in Russia. And there's loads. Yeah, so...
Okay.
I don't know why.
It's cold and the vodka's cheap. I don't know.
It's cold.
Are they angry?
Not much else to do.
Not much freedom.
Quite poor in Russia.
Not
I don't know what their
places.
Economy is kind of like. Yeah, maybe. So I don't know. I may be a culmination of things.
Yeah, okay.
Don't know. Okay, so we're going to start with possibly the most infamous, and they are the Maniacs. Bloody did it. I nailed it.
Well done.
All three guys, one hammer. Now, obviously, we're speaking about the video. I've not seen the video personally, which I'm quite surprised at myself that I haven't, to
me
be
too.
Fair.
Me too.
But what, surprised at yourself or me?
I'm surprised that you haven't.
Okay.
I'm not surprised I haven't. I'm surprised... that's no surprise. I haven't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. I've never seen a beheading video. It's just not going to happen. I just don't want to see it. Love horror movies. Don't like real life horror.
Yeah, it's not good.
I like
definitely.
Safety at home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. But like back in the day, you know, it's the kind of thing that I would have probably watched. You know, I did watch like Faces of Death and stuff like that.
I have seen Faces of Death.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the Mondo videos.
Yeah. You know, new ways used to be on like rotten.com and stuff like that back at the dawn of the internet. But yeah, like these days it's not really something I go searching for, because I did think when I was doing this episode I was like, probably could find it if I wanted to, you know.
Ooh,
but haven't searched it out, because I was just like, I don't know if I need to see that now. I'm older.
I did look and I saw a picture of a man with his head sort of crushed, caved in,
yeah,
with them standing over it. I saw that photograph.
I saw that picture too
on Instagram. I went for a little search and
okay,
I did give a warning before clicking it, but I was like, gone in. And you know. So I got an idea of what was going on.
I will do a little description of the video later, but haven't seen it, and yeah, quite glad for that now. So
yes,
yeah.
Obviously listeners, up to you. You're all grown humans that can do what you want.
Yeah, definitely. If you did want to go and look for it, I'm sure you could find it. But similarly, do you need to see that? Okay, so these guys, they were three Ukrainian teenage serial stroke spree killers who were responsible for a total of 21 murders during June and July in 2007.
21 murders
in 2 months. Fucking, they did loads.
Wow.
Yeah, they did loads. Like, I know we were speaking before we started recording, weren't we, saying about like the police investigations into things like this, and how is it that they kind of get away and get such a high body count?
It's quite a lot all of a sudden, though, isn't it?
It's a lot, yeah.
Must so been I leaving think, mess here and there all over the place with evidence, etc.
I don't know if evidence so much, but, you know,
or,
there's...
it must be a witness or something, if you can, like...
Yeah, there is. There's quite a few times that they get seen, you know, and... There's times when there's like multiple bodies turning up in a day.
Yeah, well, you're looking at like probably what, 2 to 3 a week.
Mm. More than that. Insane. More than that, I would say. You know, sometimes there's like 2 or 3 bodies turning up in a day.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
What the fuck?
And that's like there's 21 murders, but there's more attacks than that as well. I think as we'll go on. So
and these three guys are what? They're brothers?
No. Well, it ends up there's 3 kind of in the gang initially. We'll go into it, but one of them doesn't join in with the murders because they start off doing robberies and stuff like that, and then they escalate to murder. But the other guy doesn't join in with those. So it's basically those 2 guys, but I think the 3 guys in the video is obviously the victim as well.
Oh,
that's what I'm assuming, because I also thought, well, that's weird. If he doesn't join in, surely it should be 2 guys, 1 hammer, but it's not. I think the 3rd guy is the victim. So I think that's what it's alluding to.
Oh, right. Okay. And what age are they?
God, they're only young. I think they're like 19. I think one of them's like one of them's 17 and one of them's 19, I think.
Right, okay. In Russia, is it 18 to do the things like drinking and stuff?
Do you know? I don't know. Actually, I don't know what their age of.
Not that it matters, because I imagine that they've probably been drinking since they're younger. I'm not saying the drinks any involvement in this, but whatsoever.
Yeah, there's no mention of them drinking or anything like that. There's
just
no
getting a
mention
picture of
any drugs or.
Yeah, I just want to get a picture of the environment.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
What decade are we? 90s.
Sorry?
90s, was it?
2007.
Oh, sorry, 2000s.
No, what? I think that was me with my guess in the other episode at what the date of it was. I think I guessed like 90s. I was way off.
Okay.
Wow, time has no meaning to me.
So we weren't into 2010s, the first smartphone, so we weren't into filming, uploading direct via phone. So this was like possibly filming on a phone and taking to a computer and putting it on it.
Yeah, they did find a lot of stuff on their computers, what I'm assuming that's how that worked.
Yeah, going back to computer, putting it on your computer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, cool.
All right.
Yeah.
The case gained more notoriety as they filmed some of the murders, with one video being leaked to the internet, like we were just talking about. Viktor Sayenko, Igor Suprunyak and Alexander Hanza were all born in 1988 to wealthy parents, and they all attended the same school. All 3 boys had spoken about having phobias and had decided between them that the best way to deal with them would be to confront them. They stood on or hung from the balcony of one of their apartments to try and combat their fear of heights. Hanza had hemophobia, which is a fear of blood, so Suprunyak suggested that they should torture and kill stray dogs so he'd get used to the sight of it.
Right, hang on there, right.
And that's when they obviously start animal cruelty.
I straight away, I'm like, this always happens, I tell you, these serial killers, they start off and you say something, Crover, and I'm like, see, this isn't too bad. They start off like they're helping someone or they're doing something for a good cause, and it always starts off kind of alright. These guys are like, right, we've got phobias, guys, okay, let's get together and we're gonna, what's yours, spiders, okay, let's go, oh, I've put a tarantula on my hand, oh my god, I'm cured, guys, this is such a positive way of us getting over our phobia. Yeah, I'm glad we've just decided to come together as the phobia gang and get rid of them, yeah, woo, I like it, and it's positive, and I love it. And you said it straight away, and I said, that's the thing to do. I'm not sure safely hanging from your balcony is to get over heights. That's maybe a skew way of looking at it. And then straight away, oh, I know what we can do to get over your phobia of blood. There's many ways we could do this.
Yeah.
I don't think killing is a right way to do it. But these guys... straight away, I'm like, positive, not too bad. Boom, gone. Out of the way. It's like a spinning revolving door. Straight away, gone. That's out the window.
Fucking hell. Just shoot straight off into the stratosphere.
Gone. It's like, oh my God, you guys are fucking from the get-go.
Lost it.
Taking the coin into maniacs with ease.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's just no... Yeah. No saving it, you know. No. Yeah.
So they come from a wealthy background as well, all three of them at a school. Is it a private school?
Fairly wealthy. Like one of them's parents was in the army, I think. I couldn't really find anything like super specific. I think the other one's dad was manager at a bank or something like that, and I think he had connections in the police force, but it was kind of sketchy information that I couldn't quite pin down. It's just rumour.
Are they at a private school or was it public?
I'm not sure, actually. I don't know.
Okay.
Surprise, surprise, they were also big Nazi supporters. And later, when they were on trial, there were lots of photos of them next to the animals they killed, doing a Nazi salute and having drawn swastikas in the blood. After they graduated from high school, they drifted between jobs, and Sopraniuk became an unlicensed taxi driver, using his own car to pick up passengers, which they then robbed. On March the 1st,
ghetto taxi drivers.
Yeah, definitely. On March the 1st, 2007, the boys committed two armed robberies. These would be the only crimes that Hansa would later be charged with. So that's that one guy. He just kind of loses, you know, he kind of comes out of the picture after this. Doesn't hang around with them. Eventually, Sayanko and Sopraniuk lost interest in robberies and decided to escalate their behaviour to murder.
Do you think this... Sorry to interrupt. Do you think this was... Do you think this was because a robbery incurred some violence? They actually had to violently attack someone or hit them or something, and they got a bit of a thrill from it or something, do you think? It must have been like a little taster.
Why they escalated. Yeah,
it must be a taster
of
robberies.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's escalation, definitely.
And they both went, oh, this is something to do. Maybe they might. I wonder if they're just bored kids. And
that's what I thought. They're probably bored.
And because they don't need to steal, probably. They're doing it just because, maybe.
Yeah.
And rebelling against parents or whatever, presumably. Yeah, so it's just one of those things where they're just egging each other on. They're young, stupid.
Bored, probably bored. Haven't got any money, you know, and probably not really working.
Upping each other, possibly, and pushing it, and then just all of a sudden being like, I wonder if at any point one of them later on goes, what the fuck are we doing? Do you know what I mean? At one moment when they're taking a piss or something, they're just all of a sudden they're by themselves, like, what the shit? Just crazy. I guess maybe not, because they might be so, like, fucking 2 month adrenaline fueled.
Well, I think what it is, I think the one of them's like coercing the other one into doing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think one of them's kind of pressuring the other one into doing it.
Yeah. Well, I suppose generally you always have like a leader type. And then you get those types, those types that won't actually do, like, come on, prove to me that you're a fucking odd. Won't actually do the kid or whatever. Go on, stab him. Oh, I don't want to stab him. Go on, you stab him. Like, and do you know what I mean? Where they might actually not do it and they just get someone into it, and loads of people done that. Then they get in trouble or go to prison.
Yeah.
Because they're just like pushed into a situation and they don't have the strength or willpower to be like, no.
you know,
I'm not
definitely.
Doing that. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit. Okay. All right, carry on.
Hansa didn't participate in any of the killings, but he did know about them, so still considered complicit at trial. But he wouldn't get as much of a sentence, obviously, as them for taking part in all the murders. The first two murders occurred late on the 25th of June 2007, and the first victim was 33-year-old Ekaterina Ilchenko, who was on her way home after having tea at a friend's house. So this is why I find this really scary as well, because it just fucking happens out of nowhere.
Well,
you know, these people just walking along the fucking street, minding your own business. You know, these fucking nutbags just come and start attacking you with a hammer. You know, if that takes you by surprise,
well,
it's just so frightening.
Even with the most martial arts, fucking street self-defense shit. Like, you're probably not going to expect that. And if these are spree kids, like you say, I imagine there's no reason for these people being killed. They're just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Just happen to encounter them, you know, and all goes tits up.
So what happens?
According to Sayenko's later confession, he and Suprunyuk were, quote, out for a walk, and Suprunyuk just happened to have a hammer.
I don't go for general walks because a hammer's big and annoying in my pocket.
Yeah, I know. It's not the kind of thing you just have with you, is it? When Ilchenko walked past the pair, Suprunyuk spun around, swinging the hammer, and hit her on the side of the head, continuing to hit her as she lay on the ground.
Shit.
Her mother found her body the next morning after she became concerned that Ekaterina hadn't come home and had gone out to look for her. So her mum found her. Just an hour after that attack, they found their next victim. Roman Tatarevich was sleeping on a bench opposite the public prosecutor's office when the boys smashed his head with the hammer and other blunt objects until he was unrecognisable.
They are just... what time in the morning is this?
I'm not sure. It's super early because there's one of them that will come... One of them will come to, like, in a bit. It's like 6 a.m. It's like, what the fuck? What are you doing?
They must have been up all night. It's just weird. But at this point, though, they must be just running high on adrenaline and everything because, like, they're now murderers. This has changed their life forever. This is it's completely changed. They've killed another human being. The thing we shouldn't really do to each other, but we seem to do.
On the 1st of July, two more victims, Yevgenia Krashenko and Nikolai Serchuk, were found murdered in the nearby town of Novomoskovsk. And on the night of the 6th of July, three more victims were murdered in Dnipro. The first was Igor Nechvoloda, a recently discharged army recruit who was bludgeoned to death as he walked home from a nightclub. 28-year-old Yelena Shram was hit in the head by Suprunyuk just around the corner. She'd been carrying a bag of clothes, which they used to clean off the hammer. Later the same night, they murdered Valentina Hanza, who's no relation, by the way, to the other guy. She was a mother of three with a disabled husband. The next day, two 14-year-old boys from a nearby town were attacked as they went fishing. One of the two friends, Andrei Sidyuk, was killed, but the other boy managed to escape after hiding in the woods until Suprunyuk and Sayenko had left. On the 12th of July, 48-year-old Sergei Yatsenko, a recovering cancer sufferer, went missing while riding his motorcycle.
I was just thinking, like, first of all, you got the army guys, like, hey, great, I finished my army duty, didn't get killed. I'm just coming
I've
just been out for a night at the disco, dancing away, pulled a lady. Yep. And now just been hammered and dead. And then you got a family that's left with a disabled guy, a dad, looking after three kids.
Yep.
Or however that was going to work. And now you've got someone that's just got away from cancer. But then again, I suppose if you're going to get 21 or whatever people, I suppose, percentage-wise, you're going to get all walks of life, but you're going to get definitely people in situations like, wow, I got over cancer, I feel so much good about my life.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a big demographic, I suppose.
Imagine that one day you're sitting there going, I've got cancer, I'm going to die, and you're getting used to the fact that this might happen. Then get over and be and then find out that, and then you never realise, you're going to get over it. You're actually going to die of a hammer a month after getting used to it.
His battered body was found 4 days later with signs of a savage attack clearly visible, even after 4 days in the summer heat. Just 2 days later, on the 14th of July, 45-year-old Natalia Marmachuk was riding her scooter in a nearby wooded area when Suprunyuk knocked her off and they bludgeoned her to death with the hammer and a metal pipe before they rode off on her scooter.
It's like a horror movie.
Mm.
Just you imagine a scooter's going along and jump out from behind a hedge and smack them with a hammer. I guess she's not wearing a helmet then, was she? Wear a helmet.
Definitely.
That would have saved your life. Another thing there, you should wear a helmet. What? Because I ride a moped and you might have an accident in a car. No, someone might come out and smash you with a hammer. Well, how's that? When's that ever going to happen, Dad? Oh, I'm not wearing a helmet. Actually, she's 45. She's probably not saying it to her dad.
Witnesses gave chase, but eventually lost sight of them. 13 more murders followed.
But witnesses, sometime, though. Witnesses.
Yeah. Sometimes with multiple bodies being found on the same day. Victims were selected at random, but most were vulnerable, including children, the elderly, and the homeless. And they were all killed using a hammer and other blunt objects, like steel construction bars, with blows being directed at their heads, leaving them unrecognisable.
What is going on with these guys and head blows?
Yeah, I know.
And how old was the youngest child?
Was he 12 or 14, those kids?
Right, okay.
What do you mean? The kids...
Got killed. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think he was 12 or 14, I think.
Okay.
We'll come back to them.
Yeah, right, okay.
Many of the victims were also tortured before death, and some had their eyes removed.
What the fuck? What is it, Jack the Ripper now?
Yeah, they're mental. It's not just like bashing them in and fucking
leaving them. It's rage-fueled, isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrible. There was no sexual assault on any of the victims, though many had their cell phones taken. There had been no official link between the murders until the attack on the two young boys on July the 7th. The friend who had survived had initially been placed under arrest on suspicion of murdering his friend, but it soon became clear that he wasn't involved. Two local children who had witnessed the attack, hidden in a tent just a few feet away, produced a detailed description of the attackers, which also corroborated the young boy's story.
Bob, I've got an idea tonight. What? What, Billy? What?
Yeah, we just wanted to go and have a little time.
Let's go camp in a tent tonight. Okay. But isn't there scary things out there? No, there's not scary things. We'll be all right. What's that sound, Billy? I don't know. Oh, let's have a little look. And it's just hammer bashing time.
Yeah,
and just like,
we're
oh
just
going
to see
God.
Another kid get beaten to death.
Billy. I am never coming camping again. What are you? Why did you persuade me to do this?
A task force was sent from Kiev, and the manhunt soon grew with over 2,000 investigators working on the case. The investigation was kept secret at first, and no official information about the murders was released. Local people weren't officially warned about the possibility of an attack, and no description of the suspects was released.
No one's warned.
No.
What radius are we saying the killings are? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I think it's all quite like within a certain area, you know, with their hometown. I don't know. I couldn't begin to guess. It's kind of like maybe the next town, but I don't know how far the next town is.
Well, we could say
Five miles?
I was going to say radius of 5 miles makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
You'd think of the amount of killing being found in such a small area.
Is already quite a lot of dead people? Yeah, you'd think they'd
and
be like,
they didn't know
there's
there
shit going on here. Yeah.
What? How many other dead bodies are being pulled up as well at the same time? Mm. We only know about these ones. How many dead bodies are occurring for them not to go, oh, I don't think these connected at all. What?
Well, we'll see at the end when I go through my list of maniacs. I've got like, because these, the list that I've compiled at the end of maniacs is only from after 1991. So it's all within that kind of time frame of 91 up till kind of 2010, 2015. There's a lot going on. So there could be dead bodies all over the bloody place, to be honest. I know Russia's quite big, but that's a lot of dead people.
But what we're saying is we're assuming like a 5 mile radius.
Yeah.
It's a lot. You'd think a warning as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it because they don't want to make a scare? But then again, that's a lot of people. You should be like, maybe staying tonight, guys.
Yeah, you'd at least put a curfew out, wouldn't you?
Or there's a reason why they don't. I don't know.
Well, there's no official warning, but obviously people are going to hear, they're going to hear about them. So, you know, they're going to hear there's something going on. So people are going to do that of their own volition. But we're just saying there's no like official police going, this is going on, you need to be inside at a certain time, you know.
Is it a case of, meh?
I think it's a case of the police maybe don't want to make it seem as bad as it is. maybe they're trying to kind of downplay it a bit so that people don't get scared, or maybe they're struggling because they don't really know what to do with it, you know, so they're kind of trying to downplay it a bit and hope that people don't really take much notice until they solve it. I don't know.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. However, rumours of the attacks kept most people at home at night. Eventually, investigators began to distribute sketches of the suspects and lists of the stolen items to local pawn shops.
So, really, we're going through people just being sensible, probably just staying in themselves going, yeah. No, you're not going out tonight, why not? Because there's a fucking killer out there.
Yeah. And it was just a short time later that some items started to turn up. All three suspects were arrested when Suprunyuk attempted to sell a mobile phone on July the 23rd, 2007. Law enforcement tracked the phone's location when the shop owner turned it on to check it was working. The three were charged with 29 separate incidents, including 21 murders and 8 more attacks where the victim survived. So that's nearly 30 incidents.
Right, I didn't know if it was like an IP address which got them arrested type sort of thing. So it's not. It's them, the shop owner, turning the mobile phone
on one of their victims. Yeah.
What a bunch of fucking idiots.
So, obviously, they've been arrested. They were charged with 29 separate incidents and all three confessed quickly. But Suprunyuk later withdrew his confession. Their trial began in June 2008 and Suprunyuk pled not guilty, while Hansa and Sayenko pled guilty to all charges. Prosecuting evidence included bloodstains on the suspects' clothing as well as video recordings of the murders on their phones and personal computers, one of which was leaked to the internet, the now infamous Three Guys, One Hammer. The video showed the murder of 48-year-old Sergei Yatsenko. It lasted just over 4 minutes and showed him lying on his back in the woods and being repeatedly struck on the head by one of the boys before the other stabbed him with a screwdriver and removed one of his eyes. They walked back to the car discussing the murder, saying that they were surprised that Yatsenko was still breathing, even after they had driven the screwdriver into his exposed brain. They wash their hands with water from a bottle and laugh, and then the video ends.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, it's
That's
a lot, isn't it?
Just horrible.
Yeah, to just be that fucking...
Icing on the cake. Oh, a screwdriver in the brain.
Uncaring about it.
Oh, it's still breathing. Well, quite a fucking... It lets you envision that. It's, ugh.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah. A number of photographs were also found which showed Sayenko and Suprunyuk attending the funerals of their victims, smiling and flipping off the coffins and gravestones. The prosecution did not establish a motive for the killings, but local media reported that the girlfriend of one of the suspects had stated that the boys had planned to make 40 separate murder videos. Her statement was corroborated by a former classmate who claimed he had heard that Suprunyuk was in contact with an unknown, quote, rich foreign website operator, unquote, who ordered 40 snuff videos and would allegedly pay well when they were delivered, though there was no evidence to support this claim. At trial, it was reported that Suprunyuk had collected newspaper cuttings about the murders, and on some of the pictures he had written, quote, "The weak must die, the strongest will conquer."
Is that the one that's denied anything, denied the killings?
He's the one that, yeah, he pled not guilty.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, definitely. The defence initially tried to claim insanity, and when that was rejected, they tried to claim that the videos had been faked by the prosecution. Sayenko's defence claimed that he had a quote, psychological dependence on Suprunyuk, whom they called the ringleader. They claimed that Suprunyuk repeatedly threatened Sayenko and that he feared for his life, and he testified in court that he'd been in fear of Suprunyuk since seventh grade. On February the 11th, 2009, the court in Dnipro found them both guilty of premeditated murder, with Sayenko being charged with 18 murders and Suprunyuk charged with 21. They were both sentenced to life imprisonment as well as 15 years each for armed robbery charges, and they were also found guilty on animal cruelty charges. As Hansa was only involved in the armed robberies, he was found guilty and sentenced to 9 years in prison. He later said of Sayenko and Suprunyuk, quote, "If I had known the atrocities they were capable of, I would not have gone near them at gunpoint." In April 2019, it was reported that Hansa had been released after serving 9 years and is now married with two children.
That's the one that didn't do any killing.
He's the one that didn't do the murder.
The other two are in prison and that's them done.
Yeah. I did look into that. It's not just prison. It's like they've gone to like a work colony thing.
Oh my god!
Like a Russian work colony.
I bet a Russian prison isn't a holiday resort.
Yeah, but it's fucking horrendous. So yeah, they're there, and hopefully they won't ever get out.
So we don't know really anything more about their childhood or anything, though, do we? Like, why these guys did this? We don't know. For this main, the ringleader, they class him as. Do you reckon, did he have some brain injury? Did he? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure he's probably just some narcissistic little shit. You know, if his parents are quite wealthy, he's probably just one of those that's never been said no to. You know, he's probably just bored. I think there's a lot of contributing factors to that.
Mm.
I think it's nature and nurture with that one, and kind of economic situation. You know, maybe there's not a lot to do over there, so just started doing that. You know, like we were saying, they were doing armed robbery. They're probably getting a thrill from that. They need to escalate.
Yeah.
Probably sees those kind of people as worthless, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and looks down on them. Maybe doesn't see like that's a problem.
Hmm. Yeah, crazy guys. Well, I'm glad they got arrested. And the other guy who got out, he's married with children and he's having a old dandy time.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
But he just did some robbing, so.
Well, that's what he says.
That is what he says. There's no evidence that he did take part in any of the murders, but, you know, we don't know if he might have done, and it's just not recorded. Just because there's no evidence don't mean he didn't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm glad those guys are in prison. I wonder how they're doing. I wonder what they're doing right this second.
Breaking rocks, hopefully.
Oh, well, putting that to use, I suppose. The
yeah.
Motion of the hand.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so you got some more to tell us, have you?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Academy Maniacs now.
Sounds like something my eldest would be watching.
Yeah, I know. I thought that. Okay, so there was a kind of copycat case in Russia where two teenage boys known as the Academy Maniacs committed six murders between December the 5th, 2010 and April the 5th, 2011. So we're talking like 3-4 years after the Dnipropetrovsk Maniacs.
Okay. All right.
The attacks, which involved a mallet and a knife, were perpetrated by Artyom Anufriev and Nikita Litkin, and they were both from Irkutsk in Russia, both born around 92, so we're talking, quick math, 18, 17?
Yeah,
17, 18.
18, yeah.
Both boys had grown up without a stable father figure in their lives, and despite doing well academically, they both struggled socially. Litkin had one friend named Arta Lysenko, and it was at Lysenko's birthday party that Litkin met Anufriev. The pair gradually became more insular together, and they formed a punk band called Evil Dwarves. Anufriev was also known to be a member of a white power group for some time. That comes up a lot as well.
Oh, okay. Did you listen to any of the Little Dwarfs?
Evil Dwarfs?
Evil Dwarfs.
No, I didn't.
I wonder if there's any of their stuff out there.
Yeah, you should have a look, actually. I didn't think to have a look for it.
Yeah.
The pair began searching for victims in 2010, spending a week walking around near the university in the evenings. They attacked their first victim on November the 14th, 2010. 18-year-old Anastasia Markovskaya was walking home from the bus stop when the pair hit her on the head with the mallet. However, they were frightened off and she survived. On November the 24th, 2010, Anufriev and Litkin attacked a 46-year-old woman and stole her bag. On December the 1st, they attacked another woman, but again they were frightened off by witnesses and ran away, taking her bag and using the money in her purse to buy new mallets. Later that day, they saw a 12-year-old boy...
I like the fact they're investing in themselves.
Yeah, right. Upgrade. Later that day, they saw a 12-year-old boy who went to the same school. They decided to attack him, and Litkin stunned him from behind by a blow to the head with the mallet. When he fell, Anufriev continued to beat him with a baseball bat, and he was also stabbed in the head with a penknife. His mother and brother found him still alive after they had gone out to search for him. Unfortunately, the ambulance transporting him to the hospital got stuck in traffic and he was pronounced dead on arrival, which is super unfortunate. Initially, his death was thought to be an accident, and investigators had assumed that the boy had hit his head on a tree after riding down the hill on his scooter. On December the 16th, 2010, just 20 metres from where the young boy was attacked, the body of 69-year-old Olga Pirog, a leading researcher at the Institute for Solar and Terrestrial Physics, was found. She had been stabbed over 30 times, but her money and jewellery were untouched. The pair made an audio recording before the attack began, discussing how they would murder her before recording the actual attack. On December the 29th, Inessa Svetlova was attacked at 6 a.m. She managed to escape and the boys stole her bag, which they later discarded. Just an hour later at 7 a.m, pregnant 22-year-old Ekaterina Karpova was out with her 6-year-old niece Olga when she encountered Litkin and Anufriev. She was talking on her mobile phone when the pair attacked. Despite being hit in the ribs by Litkin and later being diagnosed with an extensive hematoma in the area of her liver, Olga managed to escape. Ekaterina was hit on the head and suffered broken fingers, but a passing car scared them off, saving her and her baby's life.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. It's quite kind of with this one, I hate to say the word good, but it's kind of good they do get scared off quite a lot, these pair. On January 1st, 2011, at around 5 a.m, Anufriev and Litkin attacked a homeless man, hitting him with a mallet over 40 times, most of the attacks being aimed at his head. He later died in hospital, but unfortunately, authorities couldn't identify him. January the 30th, Anufriev and Litkin attacked student Oleg Semyonov, who was returning home late after a night on the town. He managed to escape but was later diagnosed with traumatic brain injuries. On February the 3rd, they attacked an elderly woman who was later taken to hospital with an open head wound. On the night of February the 8th, they attacked another woman but were frightened off again. February the 21st, Alexander Maximov, who was returning home from visiting with his sister, was attacked and killed by the pair. His skull and jaw was completely smashed, and Litkin had shot him in the head with an air rifle, and Anufriev had tried to remove his eyeballs but failed.
It's just crazy, absolutely crazy. There's a thing with this, though, where death is more preferable. Death or being brain damaged for the rest of your life, where you just don't know what's going on. You're just literally just a body that needs to be fed to kept alive while the heart pumps. It is just a crazy thing. And obviously your loved ones would do that, you know, because that's what they would do. But in that situation, it'd be like, I think I'd rather just be dead.
Yeah,
that's just no way to go on if one or the other's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
So like the guy who didn't get killed but then mentally,
the guy with the traumatic brain injury.
Yeah, that's going to be for the rest of his life. That's almost more horrific.
Yeah, definitely. On February 27th, Litkin attacked Nina Kuzmina alone. Kuzmina was sitting on a bench, but when he hit her, she screamed, causing people to look out of nearby windows. Litkin ran away, taking the woman's mobile phone. On the night of March the 10th, on the footpath close to Anufriev's house, they attacked another homeless man. Anufriev shot the man twice in the face, after which they both dragged the body into some bushes and began to stab him. Litkin attempted to cut off a hand, but couldn't manage it, so he took a little finger instead. Later, Anufriev photographed the corpse, and a blood trail could be seen from the window of his apartment. In the next few days, they attacked a homeless woman who survived when they were frightened off by a policeman. And then they attacked another woman, but only stole her bag.
So many people.
Yeah, I know, loads. On April the 3rd, they attacked their last victim, 63-year-old homeless woman Alevtina Kudina. After they had murdered her, they filmed themselves disfiguring her corpse. Anufriev later sent the video to a friend online, and it was subsequently leaked to the internet. Got to be some kind of fucking...
Yeah, of course.
Piece of shit anyway to be like, oh, have a look at this.
Yeah. Oh,
check
course.
This out. Check what I did today. It's fucking, oh.
What last one was like 21 body count?
What, this one? No, it's
last
only
one.
Six.
Last one.
Oh,
20,
yeah,
like
sorry. Yeah, they were 21. This one 21 is... and another 8 attacks, separate attacks.
Wow. What's this one?
This one's 6 murders. I can't remember what the attack.
Oh, yeah, they got scared off a lot of times.
Yeah.
But if they hadn't been scared off, it would have been the big numbers.
It would have been a lot higher. Yeah, definitely. On March the 11th, a community meeting was held along with investigators to discuss the attacks and find out any more information. Litkin and Anufriev also attended the meeting, filming themselves laughing on their phones. There were also constant police patrols in the area.
Because we know this quite often, if there's been a murder or something, that the killer will turn up and stand there with the public watching. We've seen this done loads of times. Like Ian Hart, whatever his name was,
oh, God, yeah, that guy who killed them two little girls.
Yeah, Ian
Maxine,
Huntley or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was Ian Huntley and Maxine something.
He did that, yeah, and then joined in the search. You know, we do find these people infiltrating into the safe circle.
That weird guy as well. Do you remember that weird guy who was interviewed on the news? I think we've covered him on the Stalker episode.
Yeah.
And he'd been breaking into that girl's apartment and fucking... stealing her stuff, and then he ended up cutting her up into bits, killed her and cut her into bits, and they were just doing the news interview of her murder, and he was like talking about it.
Absolutely
crazy.
It's just it's one of those things we find out, and with this one we're finding these kids have gone in and they're sitting there like finding it a good old fucking laugh. And imagine, like, it must have been quite annoying as you're standing there sitting there listening going, what the fuck? And you're just thinking it's kids being fucking dickheads. And
like the last guys we were talking about, they turned up at the victim's funerals, didn't they?
Exactly. But
surely
we know also a situation like this, there should be at least one shrewd like detective there or cop or something, because like, do you know what? There's a percentage chance that the killers might turn up for this and want to listen because they want to know what we know, etc. etc.
Yeah, but then at the same time, are you going to suspect two stupid kids who are just sitting there fucking, you know, I don't know.
I'd be detective, expect the unexpected. That'd be my tagline.
Detective expective.
Detective expective, the unexpected.
Oh, dear.
Death expect the unex. That'd be me.
Oh God!
No, it's getting all weird now.
A few days before their arrest, Litkin's mother found a knife still packaged in the hallway at home. When she asked him why he needed it, he replied it was for self-defense, and he reported a knife. And he reportedly later said to his grandmother, "Quote: I will soon be lost." They were eventually arrested on April the 5th, 2011, after photo fits of the suspects were distributed at Litkin's grandmother's place of work. His grandmother and Litkin's uncle Vladislav were suspicious when they saw the pictures, and Vladislav went to Litkin's home. He wasn't there, but he did find a camera which contained the recording of Alevtina Kudina's murder, and after seeing the footage, Vladislav immediately took the camera to the police. And an hour later, both Litkin and Anufriev had been arrested. They confessed to the murders and 6 more attacks later that evening, adding that they had planned to commit another attack that very evening. The total number they confessed to was 6 murders and 10 attacks. So there you go, there's that.
Okay.
During a search of the teenagers' rooms, police found a 60mm mallet and 4 pearly yellowish teeth, An air gun was also found, which Anufriev had hidden in an electric stove. And they also found folding knives, videotapes and notebooks containing extremist material.
Right.
The trial began on September the 5th, 2012, and Anufriev was charged separately with 14 counts of engaging a minor in criminal activity, as Litkin had been 17 for almost all of the killings. Together, they were charged with 6 murders, 9 attempted murders, 3 robberies, and desecration of the bodies of the dead.
You get that sort of situation, sorry to interrupt, where we get the murders happening when the person is under the age of, like, adulthood in that particular region, let's say, for example, 18, and it happens then. And then they're on trial and they're sitting there and waiting or whatever, in the, you know, on bail or whatever, until the trial. But then they turn 18 and then they're being tried as an 18-year-old. And that has, I know, become a problem area for some situations where what the...
Yeah.
I think what they've done, obviously this is not that situation, what they've done isn't crazy extremely bad, but then
they don't know whether to be tried as an adult or as a child.
That situation, but when it comes down to it, the trial date is then. You're being tried at that moment in time, really. It's even though it's a strange line,
but I do feel like, dependent on the age you were when the crime was committed, you should be tried as you were when you committed that crime.
That makes sense.
So if you were like 16 and then you're on remand until you fucking, I was probably not going to happen, but let's say 19, you know, I think you should still be tried as a child because he's fucking 16 when you committed the crime.
Mm.
You can't be tried as a 19-year-old. There's such a gap in the mental.
Yeah, I guess not. And at the end of the day, that is the way it is. I think obviously, you might have some people, because of the situation, they want to fucking stick it to them because they've done such a horrible thing. They might actually push it the other way. And then, I suppose, in that case, fuck them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does depend.
Yeah,
you know, I suppose, like, the kids, we'll never cover it because I just can't talk about it, but the Jamie Bulger case,
of course,
you know, the kids who did that, you know, should they have been tried as children, really, or should they have, you can't really try them as an adult because you can't try a 10-year-old child as an 18-year-old. That's such a massive...
They were trialed when they were still under 18 anyway.
But
they've gone on to repeat...
Brevity of the crime is so fucking, like, heinous.
They've gone to high speed.
It's such a bad crime. Like, you've got to fucking do something serious about that. You can't just go, they're a kid, they didn't know any better.
Well,
I don't believe that.
Well, one of them who's got out and changed name, he's been, I think, arrested twice now since for finding pornography.
Being a pedo, Yeah.
And I hate the word child pornography, by the way. I don't think it should be called pornography. I don't think it should be put into the same thing as an industry which makes money. It should be children sexually...
paedophilic material.
Yeah.
I think it is called child sexual abuse material,
rather than
it?
Child pornography. I think that name should... I was thinking that the other day. Don't know why. I think it's not really something I could generally think about. But I was just thinking that name should not be put with it, because that loosens... It makes it not seem so harsh.
It makes it seem...
It puts it in the whole umbrella of pornography. And it's like, it is not.
I have heard it called CSAM. It's child sexual abuse material.
Right.
So, that is a better way of putting it.
CSAM doesn't sound good either.
I know. But it's a better way of putting it, rather than calling it child pornography. Because that's, it seem... more of a euphemism. Make it seem not
so
as bad.
So I'm not going from now on, everybody, listeners to stop calling it child pornography, and we could call it, you know,
what it is.
Absolutely.
Sexual abuse.
If you need to have this in your conversation,
yeah,
I don't know why.
It
really isn't very often this discussion ever comes up, to be honest with you. Really isn't.
Oh God.
Thrown you there, haven't I?
You have. After a long trial, they were sentenced on April 2nd, 2013. Anufriev received life imprisonment and Litkin received 24 years.
Right.
After an appeal in 2013, Litkin's sentence was reduced to 20 years after taking into account his age at the time of the murders. In November 2012, Ekaterina Karpova.
But that's not right. They can't just give him an appeal later on for less time in his sentence because now they're going, oh, actually, you did it as a kid. No, that should have been what you thought about in the first place when setting a trial.
Yeah.
That's not a case. That's if they've been good or bad since they've been inside. Not now you've decided, oh, actually, no, we've changed it. Unless certain laws changed.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know the whys and the wherefores on that.
It just seems a bit like you can't do that.
In November of 2012, Ekaterina Karpova, who's one of the survivors, sued Anufriev and Litkin for 1 million rubles.
What? How?
Shortly after which, another two lawsuits were filed by other survivors.
Wow.
One for 800,000 rubles and another for 1 million.
I didn't know you could sue the serial killers that people tried to attack you.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
I'm sure.
Medical bills, you fucking PTSD.
I just never thought of it. Like, right, that's it. I'm going to sue a serial killer. I just never thought of it. It never popped in my head.
It was eventually ruled that the total amount of compensation that they would have to pay would be 2.75 million rubles.
And what is the rubles to the pound?
I don't know what the conversion rate is, actually. I didn't look it up. I should have done, shouldn't I? You're going to do it for us.
Keep going.
Go on, quick fingers. The state prosecutor ruled that they would have to pay from what they earn in prison, so they were unlikely to ever pay off for their victims. Because, I don't know how long it's going to take them to earn 2.75 million rubles working in prison. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, how are they going to do it?
They're going to pay it off by working in prison.
What? So it was quite... how much was it in total?
2.75 million rubles. Come on, have you not got it for us yet?
Well, I'm just putting that in.
Come on, currency conversion. Go.
That's 23 million.
Is it? What, in Great British pounds?
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell. What is it in? Can you do it in dollars for our American people?
No, it's not. It's 23,000.
Really?
23,610.29, I think.
Wow.
Unless I can't read that. No, it's not in the middle.
Okay.
Well, you know. I wasn't sure because when you started going, rubles, that sounds like a law, but it's...
No, I don't think their exchange rate's great, but hopefully they got some money back from them.
Yeah, totally.
Or are getting some money back from them, because, they should. Okay, so that's them. The next one is the Blood Magic Gang, who were an inspiration for the Academy Maniacs.
Oh.
Okay, so this was a gang of Russian serial killers organised in 2007 by 19-year-old Konstantin Shumkov.
And 19-year-olds organising some serial killers?
Yeah, in Irkutsk again, same as the last guys.
I think I've heard of this.
The gang consisted of teenagers from dysfunctional families aged 14 to 15 years old. According to the investigation from January to June 2008, Shumkov and four teenagers murdered five helpless elderly people, participated in one rape and caused serious injury to a further three people. On March the 1st, 2010, the Irkutsk Regional Court sentenced Shumkov to 25 years imprisonment and the juvenile offenders to various terms ranging from 6 to 10 years.
So they're just killing old people?
Yep, basically.
Kids killing old people, definitely.
Well, if they're only like fucking 14, 15, you know, they're not going to go for a fully grown person. So yeah, just fucking taking advantage, just like all of these guys have done. It's all been women, old people, people who are asleep,
children,
people who are pissed, you know, kids. So yeah, it's all of these just going for the weaker, more vulnerable.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
What's next, dear?
Okay. So next, we're going to start on my list of maniacs. it's just, I was going through this and I was like, oh, I wonder what else goes on in Russia. And it kind of led me down a little maniac rabbit hole. There's so many that I was like, Russia just loves calling their killers maniacs, I reckon. So I was like, right.
It's not the cold, it's not the vodka, it's just that they like to call them it.
I don't know. So yeah, I thought I'd go through and just do a list we can finish with. So it's a fair few. I thought you'd probably be surprised at the amount of them.
Okay.
And some good ones as well. If right. There is such a thing as a good maniac.
Okay.
Okie dokes. So this one is 2006 to, from 2006 to 2012. Valery Andreev, he was the Orsk maniac. He abducted and raped young girls and he had 7 victims. He's currently a fugitive.
Really?
Yeah. So 1983 to 1997, Andrei Barusov was the Lensky maniac and he raped and murdered young girls. He had 7 victims and he got 21 years in prison.
Okay, do you reckon the other guys who's evaded being caught, do you reckon he's listened to podcasts?
I don't know.
I wonder if
think he's listening to this one. You've got to mention. Not that we want to fucking big up to any murderers or anything. from 1991 to 2002, Vladimir Belov was the Kovrinsky maniac and he robbed and killed 8 people, but he is suspected of more murders. He got life in prison. From 1997 to 2002, Alexander Bushiev was the Gardner maniac.
Yeah. They use different implements.
He was a horticulturalist who tortured and murdered young boys.
Apart from the young boys bit, that's put me right off. I know,
but
well, I hope
horror
movie.
He wasn't cutting off their knobs with fucking pruning shears or something.
I'm not even going to go there. Just think about it, dear. But the gardener sounds like a great horror movie until it involved young children.
Yes. Mm. He had 7 victims and he got 44 years in prison. From 2006 till 2007, Oleg Chizhov was the Bursky maniac, and he raped and brutally killed 4 girls, and he got 22 years in prison. From 1998 till 2006, Yevgeny Chuplinsky was the Novosibirsk maniac, and he killed sex workers. He had 19 victims, and he got life in prison.
Blimey.
In 1999, Vladimir Dragina was the Kamishin maniac, and he killed young girls and teenagers. He had 5 victims, and he got life in prison. From 1999 till 2008, Vladimir Dolin was the Kopiesk maniac. He killed a teenager and raped and killed 2 young girls, and he committed suicide in prison. From 1987 till 2002, Nikolai Dudin was the Grim maniac. He killed his father in 1987, and after his release, he killed 12 more people, and he got life in prison.
Do you think he's right? He's fine. Let him out. He won't do anything wrong.
Oh, no.
12 people!
Yeah, 12 more people. 2004.
He hadn't even started. His dad was a family one. It wasn't even like that. Might have just been, I was so pissed off with dad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some sort of thing.
Just snapped.
Where then he's going out and starting it for real.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
From 2004 till 2017, Alexei Folkin was the Emacom maniac, and that's the Russian emergency services. He was a former firefighter who raped and murdered 4 women.
Shit.
He got life in prison. From 1996 till 2000, Viktor Fokin was the pensioner maniac, also known as the Grandfather Ripper. He killed sex workers, so I don't know what pensioners had to do with it.
Pensioner sex workers?
He killed sex workers and alcoholics and then disposed of them in the trash. And he had 9 victims and he died in prison. From 1996 till 2000, Andrei Golovachyov was the apartment maniac, and he was a fugitive who killed various people, mostly lodgers and landlords. He had 14 victims, and he got life in prison. In 2014, Artyom Grabovoy was the Nays Volkonskoy maniac. He was a garrison officer who raped and murdered women where he was stationed at the time. He had three victims and he committed suicide to avoid apprehension. In 2015, Alexei Ivanov was the taxi driver maniac. He raped, beat to death and dismembered sex workers, dumping their remains in the nearby woods. He had four victims and he got life in prison. In 2005, Denis Kalinin was the salesman maniac. He robbed and killed pensioners and he had 14 victims and got 19 years in prison, which isn't that much considering 14 people.
Yeah, yeah.
2005 till 2006, Dmitry Karamov was the concrete product maniac.
Concrete product? You've chucked the word product in there. The concrete maniac sounds absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
the concrete
definitely.
Product maniac. What we're saying here is like cement and water and it's a mixture. What we're saying here?
Well, he raped and killed women near concrete product factories.
That's
no. Not laughing at the crime, but
no,
the whole,
not, but that's
the
just
whole
not
thing
a good
of
name.
It.
Come on.
He had seven victims and he got life in prison. In 2004 till 2007,
what if it's near supermarkets?
Oh, no.
The food produce killer. Food produce maniac.
Yeah, fresh produce maniac.
The dairy maniac.
Yeah, definitely.
Always near farms.
2004 till 2007, Andrei Kiko was the Sosnovsky maniac. He assaulted and raped girls and young women, and he had three victims and got 47 years in prison. From 1999 till 2014, Vladimir Kolobin was the Rybinsky maniac. He murdered various people in personal disputes, and he had six victims and got 19 years in prison.
It was just someone who's unhappy in the situations every once in a while. I was like,
that's
my parking spot.
Yeah.
Kill them. Carry on to the next one. That's the only... It's just his dispute killer.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Dispute maniac, sir. I keep saying killer. I mean,
yeah,
it's got to
be a maniac. From 2004 till 2005, Dmitry Kopilov was the youth maniac. He was a teenager who attacked, raped and murdered women and one man. And he had five victims and got 10 years in prison.
You need that song, Maniac, Maniac, and it shows. You need that playing at the beginning of the episode.
From 2005 till 2009, Alexei Kruglov was the Istra maniac. He kidnapped and brutally murdered three young boys, then strangled his niece a few years later. He got life in prison. From 2000 till 2002, Andrei Melyuk was the brick maniac. He robbed and murdered elderly women by hitting them on the head with a brick.
Okay, that makes sense with the name.
Yeah, he had 10 victims and got life in prison. In 2002, Andrei Mescherikov was the Balashkinsky maniac. He strangled and robbed women, got five victims and 25 years in prison. From 2005 till 2006, Sergei Osipenko was the Rossoshansky maniac. He raped and murdered four women and got life in prison.
How many more is there?
I've got quite a few. 1998 till 2008. See, this is what I was saying when we were talking earlier about how many bodies are turning up. That's what I was saying. I know Russia's like quite big, but all these, but it's all in a similar kind of time. It's all from like to at least encompassing the beginning to the mid to like 2010 kind of time when they were killing, you know. So it's quite a lot.
There must have been something going on for this to
be
happening.
I don't know.
In the climate of that region, it has to be.
That's what I mean. It's no money.
Then, you know what happened then? Then 2010 occurred. Everybody got smartphones and TikTok and fucking games on their phone. They just stayed at home doing that.
Yeah, right.
They
Everyone's
killing.
Playing
they
Candy Crush.
So then, like, oh, I've got Candy Crush now. I won't go and do the. I won't do the head crush. I've got the Candy Crush.
In 1998 till 2008, Ivan Panchenko was the Svetlograd maniac. He kidnapped and killed young girls. He had five victims and life in prison. 1991 till 2001, Alexander Pavlenko was the maniac policeman. He killed and dismembered two
maniac
young girls.
Maniac cop!
Yeah. And he's suspected of at least two more.
That's
he was
a great
initially.
Movie.
initially sentenced to 24 years, but then it was reduced to 13 years, and he was released in 2014. So the maniac cop is on the loose.
Wow.
From 1992 till 2008, Oleg Petrosyan was the karate maniac.
Cool. Sorry, I know, sorry, it's not cool. It's not cool, but Karate Maniac is a movie I would have watched from the 80s.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a movie I'd say to you, look what I found on Prime, The Karate Maniac. You're like, let's watch it.
He was a schizophrenic sadist who confessed to murdering a homeless man and later killed six more between 2005 and 2008, and he was sentenced to compulsory treatment.
Well, hold up, we don't know. So his method, killing method, is it karate?
I don't know. That's what I wondered. Like, was he dressed like he was doing karate?
Doing crimes next to dojos. What was going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't find the how on that one.
Karate maniac.
I have to look into it.
Wow.
In 2011, Timothy Podshivalov was the Zakamsky maniac, and he got four victims and life in prison. 2009 till 2011, Igor Titsyan was the Kazan maniac. He was a serial rapist who killed three women, and he got life in prison. 1990 to 96, Vladimir Rutunsky was the Povarinsky maniac. He kidnapped, raped, and killed hitchhikers, and also suspected of corpse abuse.
Bundy?
He had eight victims, suspected of four more, and he was initially sentenced to death, but was commuted to 15 years, and he was released in 2015. In 2002, Andrei Rodolgin was the Voronezh maniac. He was a serial rapist who raped and killed teenagers, also guilty of corpse abuse. And he had three victims and got life in prison. 1991 till 2005, Vladimir Romanov was the Kaliningrad maniac. He was a paedophile who raped and murdered 12 girls and young women. He was suspected of 20 murders altogether. He committed suicide in prison. Last page. 2000 till 2018, David Sarabashian was the Suvorov maniac. He was a soldier who raped and strangled women. He got five victims and life in prison. 98 to 99, Sergei Sedilov was a Solkhenitsyn maniac. He was a mentally ill man who killed, then abused the corpses afterwards. He got six victims and was sentenced to compulsory treatment. From 96 to 98, Edward Shemyakov was the resort maniac. He raped, killed, and dismembered 10 women and suspected of cannibalizing at least one victim. He was sentenced to compulsory treatment. 2006 till 2007, Ruslan Shishkin was the Yudinon maniac. He was a schizophrenic who sexually assaulted and murdered three women and was sentenced to involuntary commitment. From 91 to 95, Pavel Shuvalov was the Nevsky Forest Park maniac. He was a policeman who raped and killed young women while wearing women's underwear. He got five victims, but he died in prison. 2008, Andrei Shurikov was the Naro-Fominsk maniac. He was a former traffic policeman who murdered women in the name of Lucifer. He got three victims and was sentenced to involuntary commitment. From 2011 to 2012, Radik Tagirov was the Volga maniac. He murdered 31 single women aged between 75 to 90 years old and got life in prison. From 2005 till 2007, Valery Voronov was the Lyubian maniac. He attacked women and girls near public toilets and murdered some of them. He got three victims and was sentenced to compulsory treatment. And 2010 till 2020, Andrei Yezhov was the Kashersky maniac. He was a voyeur who broke into the homes of elderly women and strangled and raped them.
The voyeur maniac?
Yeah. He got seven victims, but he committed suicide before trial.
Is that the third one to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I could kill people, but no, I don't want you to trial me and me to be like,
yeah,
have to go
can't
to prison.
Take
I can't.
It.
Oh, I can't do that. Oh, well, I don't like it. No, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
Well done you.
The last one, 1999 till 2002, Mikhail Yudin was the Burtsk maniac. He raped and killed five women, stealing their valuables and giving them to his wife or to his mum. He got five victims and he got life in prison.
Right. Okay.
So there you go. I just sort of show you how many maniacs there was in Russia around that time. So I was working in like a 30-year span-ish.
Is it the newspapers all of them coining the phrase maniacs, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's the newspapers.
Who's giving them all this moniker?
The police, couldn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Whoa, wow. Thanks for that. That's a lot of bloody research.
That's all
right.
Well
done. Blimey. Craziness.
That was a lot.
It's crazy bloody people.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It's just like quite weird when you kind of get into it and just see how many there is, you know. It's just like, whoa, didn't expect it.
Yeah, right. Or they just stopped calling them maniacs after 2010. I wonder. And they're still going.
Yeah.
What are we doing next time?
Demons, I think, is it? Demons. Ooh, demonology.
I did, yes. This is something I wanted to do. I'm working on a film at the moment which involves demons.
Yeah.
Or a particular demon. So,
you're just basically getting me to do all your research for you.
I thought demons. I was interested anyway. I thought it'd be an interesting thing to talk about.
Yeah, no, it will be. It'll be good.
Okay, that's cool. Now, listeners, if you've enjoyed today's episode, please give us a little rating, give us a like, give us a share with your buddies. If you've got a friend that's into Eastern European hammer killers, if they've said to you, by the way, if you, I'm into Eastern European, and you went, hammer killers, that's hammer, that's what I was going to say. Do you know any podcasts?
We're here to save the day.
Actually, just listening to one. If you do, let them know this show. That's what I've got to say about it.
You nearly did, didn't you?
Hello. That's all I'm going to say about it. My name is Michael Caine. Right, anyway, you do podcasts, you've done that. You do also do a bit of crocheting. I was about to say crocheting, like podcasting. Crocheting. Crocheting. Not on Etsy anymore, but you're more like direct to you. Ladies, gents, ghouls, ghosts, goblins, aliens, non-gendered people and everything else. If you wanted a little maniac yourself, crocheted.
Oh no, don't get me to...
Sarah probably do it.
I've already broke the internet once with my crochet.
Yes, you did.
That didn't go well,
no,
did it?
No, it didn't. she can. She's very good for hands and can crochet. But
yeah,
some
I will. I'll do it on the QT. Don't worry, if you do want one, I'll do you one. It's fine. No judgment here. There's no judgment here. It's fine.
Totally.
But yeah, if you want to, like, come and see my little crochet horror characters. I do all sorts. Can do funky hats, slipper socks, like blankets, loads of shizness. Come and find me over on the socials at Fox's Fantastic Fabrications. Come and have a look, and you can message me on there. I do custom orders and stuff, so yeah, as long as I've got a photograph or a picture, I'm away.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, feel free to come and find me. I'm over there with my little weird wooliness.
Indeed.
There you go. What do you do? You do some stuff, don't you?
I do. I also do a horror movie podcast called The Podcast on Haunted Hill with my buddy Dan, and we talk about all things horror, obviously. Do come check that out. It's a fun show. We also, this episode is brought to you from Deadbolt Productions.
Our big daddy.
Deadbolt Productions. Deadbolt. It basically comes from Deadbolt Films, Deadbolt Comics, some stuff that we do. There's a group of us. We all do stuff, so we're all sort of involved for each other. You can go on YouTube and check out some movies and things.
Yeah,
We've got a few short films on there. We've got more comics on the way. You can find comics on the website, deadboltfilms.com. And
have we still got our videos up on YouTube? The ones we did, like, exploring. We've got the Whip people now.
No, they're on Instagram.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
But I own them still, have them still. So we will do that probably when we get our Patreon sorted out. We'll probably post them all up on there. So it's Patreon content, which we will be doing at some point, which seems silly I should be doing it. It's 80 episodes in. Yeah, you know.
Pull your finger out.
Not the best businessman or at least promoter either. I'm terrible at it. I'm good at...
Oh, no, I'm shit as well.
I'm good at creativity and putting stuff together and things like that. I'm no good at selling it.
I'm good at writing.
That's
things.
I can make the thing, I can't sell it. So anyway, please sell it for us, listeners. If you like, like what we do, come find some stuff,
spread us around, fill up our stars on Spotify,
spread us like butter,
yeah,
all over your bread. Anyway, lovely.
Episode suggestions as well, if anyone wants to give us an episode suggestion, then please feel free to message us on the socials. We're always up for that.
Yeah, definitely. We do. That's good, actually. Give us some focus, a few episodes. And yeah, please, please give us a rate and stuff. We appreciate it. And thanks for all the messages we get from people and the people saying that they like the show. That's great. Thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you for listening.
Right, look under the bed for maniacs. just look everywhere tonight.
It don't even matter, does it? That tonight. Shit comes out the blue. You could be popping down the shop for a fucking loaf of sliced white.
We're at home.
That's it. No. Next thing you know, you get fucking battered.
No, for not tonight, everything. You lock your doors, look under the bed, everything tonight. Loft hatch, everywhere you're checking
get
tonight.
Get under that duvet.
Because of maniacs. You know,
indeed.
Next time it'd be demons you'd be hiding from, but this time it's maniacs. So anyway, good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Goodbye.
See you again soon.